Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
If you have your Bibles and you want to look on your phone, or maybe you're at home with your Bible, we're going to be looking at three different psalms this morning. Also, you can go to Bible.com, or if you have the YouVersion app on your phone, you can click events there and find the sermon notes. There's also a link on our social media pages. But I want to talk to you this morning about refuge. And I don't think that there could have been a worship set, so to say, that spoke so specifically about what I was going to share this morning. And so I think that's divine appointment. The Lord orchestrates those things, and we are grateful. But we're going to look at Psalm 46, Psalm chapter 46, also Psalm chapter 89, Psalm chapter 89, and Psalm chapter 9. So Psalm 46, Psalm 89, and Psalm chapter 9. And we're going to read that together in just a moment. And so I've entitled this sermon, Refuge. Refuge. I'm pretty excited about this. Refuge. So let's look at Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Psalm 89, looking at verses 8 and 9. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you, who you rule the raging of the sea, when the waves rise, you still them. What a wonderful promise. In Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Now, there's really actually no, that I'm aware of, just a connection of these psalms, but they all were saying something that I wanted to draw from this morning. And I saw a common thread in these three verses. And I know that we're in a time right now. Listen, let's be real. Let's be honest. We're emotionally disoriented. Our normal rhythms of things have been disrupted. We're going through this social distancing thing. My sister came by the house this last week, and it was difficult not to be able to hug and embrace. But she's a nurse at MCH, and it was wisdom to keep a little bit of distance there, as they've asked us to do. We're not meeting as physically as a church, which probably, I don't know, maybe it's the most difficult on me, but I miss you guys. I miss everyone that we're not able to come together, everyone together corporately under one roof. I was out some yesterday doing some grocery shopping, and it was just, to me, just an odd sense in there. I just felt it. The Olympics have been postponed, and I mean, I've never in my lifetime seen bare shelves in a grocery store, and all of this has an impact on us. Businesses closing. We have serious economic concerns. I mean, we're getting a double whammy in the Midland and Odessa area because of the oil field and the restrictions for the virus, and bills are still coming in, and we're entering a new thing. They're saying that domestic violence is on the rise because everyone's at shelter in place and at home. But I'm going to tell you, just kind of a side note, what a time that we can have in the craziness of life that we can reconnect with our family, that we can come together with our children and our spouses and our families under our roof and have that time together. But it, you know, as I'm thinking about this, the psalm, the first psalm that we read in Psalm 46, it says, Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. I mean, that is a very eerie description of kind of the world caving in around us. And maybe it feels like just that in your life. Maybe it feels like the earth is giving way and everything you thought was secure was being shaken away. But I think that we're in a season that we can turn that into a good thing. But I want to give you some help this morning. Just three simple points on when we find our refuge in God. And so number one is this: when you find your refuge, when God is your refuge, then you see everything in its proper perspective. When God is your refuge, then you see everything in its proper perspective. In these three verses, these three different passages, we see three different things declared. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Who is, that second passage, who is as mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you? Bit of a rhetorical question there. The third passage, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And stronghold, I mean, just very simply what it means is a defensive structure. And so when we see in the Psalms about a defensive structure, stronghold, refuge means a place of safety. But when you go through these Psalms, and many times when it talks about a stronghold or a refuge, it is drawing back something that happened in the book of Genesis. And I want to talk about that just for a minute, because what it's talking about is a cleft in the rock. When it's talking about a fortress or a stronghold or a refuge or the shadow of his wings, that place of safety is a place in the cleft in the rock. And we see this happen in Genesis chapter 33 and verse 20, and it says this: but he said, this is, so what's happening here is Moses, a whole scenario has happened. There, he's brought God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so they're at a place that, this is where, right before this, Moses received the Ten Commandments. But at the same time, while he's on the mountain, the children of Israel had fashioned a false god in the form of a calf. And they were worshiping, having a party with that idol. And they even said something very, very scary. They said, "This is the God that has delivered us." And so God, of course, was upset. And he's telling Moses that he's going to bring judgment. But what happens through all of this is God says, "You know what? I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to go with you to the promised land." And so this intercession happens with Moses to God, saying, "No, you promised." And God says, "You know, I'm going to send an angel with you." He's like, "No, that's not enough. We need you. We need your presence." And so God, in Exodus 33, he says, "Okay, I'm going to go with you." But then Moses, he takes a step further. He says, "I want to see your glory. Show me thy glory." And in verse 30, in Exodus 33, verses 20 through 22, we see this. But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Verse 21. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place." There is a place. And that place is in that fortress. That place is in that cleft. That place is in that place of safety. That place is in that refuge. There is a place by me. I love that declaration. There is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. So God places Moses in the cleft of the rock and covered Moses until he had passed by, so that Moses would just see, I mean, what scripture in the Old Testament here is, he sees, as you know, the back part of God as he passes over. But the exact definition of a cleft is a narrow space. And so that would mean that Moses has a rock under his feet. He has rock on the right of him. He has rock on the left of him. He has rock in the front of him. And he has a rock behind him. He has been placed in a cleft in the rock. And the Bible says in Psalm 139:5, "You hem me in before, behind and before. You lay your hand upon me." And Isaiah 58:8, "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you." Listen to this. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And so this is even speaking of something else. So we see in the Psalms, we see about refuge and shelter. It's talking about this cleft in the rock. God says, that's a place by me that I place you in. And just kind of skip through it all. Just get to the point. It says this, is that what that is talking about is that we have been placed in a rock, and that is in Christ. That is in him. When it's talking about that cleft in the rock, now we in the New Testament, we after the resurrection and the ascension and the promise of the Holy Spirit, we get to be placed in Christ, in him, in the rock. When the Bible tells us in Matthew 16, remember Peter's confession, and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds back, you are right. You know, it's my Father in heaven that revealed this, and upon this rock I'll build my church. That scripture is not talking about Peter. Peter as a little rock. When it says rock, it's talking about Petra. It's talking about the rock. And because of Peter's confession, he would be placed upon the rock. And so I'm asking you this morning, what is your confession in the middle of the trial and the storm and the difficulty? I'm going to tell you what my confession is going to be, is that he is the rock. He's the rock that is higher than I. He is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, and my foundation is going to be in Jesus. And when we find our place on that place, it puts in the perspective about everything around us. When God is our refuge, remember, then you see everything in its proper perspective. It puts everything in its proper perspective. We are always going to have a circumstance somehow, some way or another that is going to shake us up. But Moses says two things. He says, show me your ways that I may know you. And in the middle of this season, in the middle of this time, there is no greater time that you can say those words. Lord, show me your ways that I may know you. Someone has defined circumstances as those nasty things you see when you get your eyes off God. If you look at God through your circumstances, he will seem small and very far away. But if by faith you look at your circumstance through God, he will draw you near and reveal his greatness to you. I don't know about you, but I'd rather look at my circumstance through the filter of God, through the filter of being in the rock, on the rock. It reminded me of a song maybe some of you are familiar with, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. Despite this season that we're in, despite the unknown, despite what tomorrow holds, I want you to know that in that cleft, in that rock, Jesus wants you to have peace. He wants you to have peace. He wants to give you the gift of peace. He said, I'm leaving you a gift. He tells us in John 16 and John 14 that he has a peace that is to be a gift to us that is not like the world can give, but it's a different kind of peace. And when you're in that cleft, that's how you know the storm can rage all around you, but you can be at perfect peace. Jesus also, he wants you to keep your faith. Don't let what's going on, don't let trials, don't let, if you've lost your job, if you've lost your income, don't let it shake your faith. That's why in the New Testament, we see Jesus spending so much time telling us what is yet to come, so that when it happens, we will not be shaken. We'll expect it, and we'll know the season that we're in. That's the beauty and the power of scriptures like Matthew chapter 24. And when you get to the end of the Gospels, when it's talking about the last days, I'm going to tell you that we are closer than ever before for the rapture of the church. And if there's anything that I want you to be, is I want you to be ready. Don't have your eyes on the circumstance, your eyes on the storm. Have your eyes set on him and know in him that you can keep your faith. Jesus wants you to have courage. I'm going to be honest, I have struggled with that this week. I mean, the first week I was kind of, you know, at sprint speed, and, you know, I kind of wore myself out really quick and have really begun to feel a lot of spiritual warfare and things happening this week that has affected me. And I had to remind myself that, yes, Jesus, in that place, in that cleft in the rock, I can have courage. Jesus wants you to know also this, is that when you're in that place, you're not alone. You are by him. Remember that? And next, I'm going to put you in a place by me. You are not alone. We have said it over and over and over these last few weeks that he's right with you. He's promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you always, even in the end of the age. We read through these Psalms. It said many places about his hand being on you. When Moses put in that cleft in the rock, the scriptures that God put his hand on him, God is with you. You are not alone. When God is our refuge, you see him in the proper perspective. You see him, you see God in the proper perspective. I mean, in those passages we read things like God is in Psalm 46. In Psalm 89, O Lord God of hosts, who is as mighty as you are? I mean, it's telling us who God, who's as mighty as God? And in the last Psalm there that we read in our text, it says the Lord is, and it also says this, those who know your name put their trust in you. And that's the key, knowing him, seeing God in the right perspective. I'm going to tell you, I've talked about it many times in the past, but you know, when you go through scripture, you see names just are significant, and there's places in scripture that have a specific name and they have a meaning, or even someone's name has meaning, and we try to name our kids that way. Each of our kids, Shaylee is actually taken from my middle name, Michael, messenger of God. Chase, we named him after Psalm 63:8. Of course, his name is Chase Michael, but Psalm 63:8, I press hard after thee, O God. I chase after God. That's what we named him, Chase. And of course, as Angela mostly found out when he was 2, 3, 4 years old, he did a lot of chasing after him. And what brought it to my mind was yesterday, I believe, is Angela and Kaylee were talking, and she was like, Shaylee's named after Daddy, and Chase is named after Daddy, and Angela says, but you're named after me. Kaylee's name is Kaylee Annalise, and that Annalise is taken from Angela, and Kaylee Annalise means one who works for the king. Names are important. I get called all kinds of names, hopefully not bad names too often. Most people call me PT, but my kids tend to have an argument because Shaylee calls me Dad and Chase calls me Daddy, and Shaylee's like, you don't need to call him Daddy. I'm like, you know what, I don't care how old he gets, he can always call me Daddy. But there's significance in a name. When trouble comes, there's so many times when the uncertain times face us, and sometimes very severe, it blindsides us, but it also blinds us to the help that's at hand. We feel like we're totally alone, abandoned, but if we will remember the name of the Lord, if we will trust in his name, we will find a security there, we'll find safety there, we'll find peace there, we'll find healing there. In our text, Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And I'm going to tell you what his name tells us. And I'm not going to spend all the time about going into the Jehovah names of God and things of that nature. But listen to me. When you know God, when you trust in his name, what you begin to understand is you know that God cares for you. And I know that may sound like a very simple statement, but we cannot forget that, because when the difficult times come, sometimes we wonder, God, do you see me? Do you care about me? Do you care what I'm facing and going through? But if you trust his name, if you know his name, you know that you can always trust him. You can trust his name. And we must know that God is with us. We've talked about that, that we've been placed beside him, that we are in Christ, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that we must know, and no matter what the storm is going on, that God is with us even in the middle of the storm. We must be convinced that God, listen to me, we must be convinced that God will redeem our situation because he is a redeemer. And I don't know what lies tomorrow. I've got it committed in the hands of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't know what you're facing. You may be facing some of the most uncertainty and maybe layoffs or whatever the case may be. But whatever it is that we're facing, God will redeem it because that is who he is. That's what we know by his name. God sees our situation. He hears our cry and he knows our sorrows. He comes to us. He meets us out of our point of need. That was a power when Moses met with God, the burning bush, and he said, I am that I am. It was a description of God saying, in that moment, whatever you need me to be, I will be that. Not what necessarily what we want him to be, but what we need him to be. And as we were singing that song, Waymaker, earlier, I started thinking about this point in my sermon because the thing that really jumped out of me, because that is who you are. And I'm going to tell you who he is. Don't get distracted. Stay with me for a minute because this declaration is very important. But I'm going to tell you his name. I'm going to tell you who he is. He's Advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Yes and the Amen. He is the Anointed One. He is the Author and the Perfecter of our faith. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Bread of Life. He's the Bridegroom. He's the Chief Shepherd. He's Christ, the Anointed One. He's the Comforter. He's the Chief Cornerstone. He's the Deliverer. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's Everlasting Father. He's the Faithful and True Witness. He is the Friend of Sinners. He's the Gate for the Sheep. He's the Gift of God. He's the Good and Great Shepherd. He's the Head of the Church, and he's the High Priest. He's the Holy One of Israel, and he's the Horn of Salvation. He is the I Am. He is Jehovah. He's the King of Israel. He's the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He's the Light of the World. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's Master, Mediator, Mighty God, Morning Star, Passover Lamb, the Great Physician, the Prince of Peace. He's our Ransom, our Redeemer, our Refiner, our Refuge. He's the Resurrection. He's our Righteousness. He is our Rock. He is the Root of David and the Rose of Sharon. He's Savior. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of the Most High. He is the Stone that the builders rejected. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Word. He is the Vine. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is Messiah, God with us. He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and at his name every knee shall bow, every circumstance shall bow, every circumstance, every sickness, every virus, every problem, every issue will bow at the name of Jesus. And the name, the winds and the waves, they calm at his name. That is who he is. It's who he is. It's who he is. And when you put your trust in his name, it's everything about who he is. When God is our refuge, it puts him in the proper perspective. Friend, I want to encourage you. I know you've heard maybe me say this many times. It comes from Oswald Chambers and the devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. And I can't remember the exact way that he wrote it, but it says something to the effect of whenever we're in the circumstance and the storm's blowing, he says this, until you look the deepest, darkest fact in the face, and it doesn't, if it damages God's character, then we don't know who God is. It's only when we can look at the scariest things of life and we know that we're in that cliff and we are hemmed in and we're upon the rock, we're surrounded by the rock, we're in Christ. It's only then we really know him. And I think this is a time we can take advantage of that, that you can know God in a way that you've never known him before. And for some of you this morning, this was not my plan or my direction. But as I even said, one of my favorite scriptures, I kind of quoted this a second ago, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That was John the Baptist. He made an announcement right before Christ's baptism when Jesus walked up to the river to be baptized. John the Baptist announces that, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And we are not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. And I think last Sunday or Wednesday, I can't remember when it was, but there's a quote by Leonard Ravenhill that the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. But Leonard Ravenhill goes on to say this. He talks about the scripture in 2 Corinthians, "But today is the day of salvation." And if you're listening to me, I know that our audience, we have so many more tuning in that would ever maybe come into our church, that maybe he's watching right now or will listen later on. But I want you to know that if you're away from God, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I'm going to encourage you not to delay another moment. Matter of fact, at the end of this, I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer of us coming back to faith. Maybe you've run from your faith. Maybe one time you served the Lord, but you've been living life your own way. Maybe you're at a place where you've doubted, but all this rising up is making you wonder, and you're looking for a place of safety and security. Listen, we don't buy into this thing because it makes life easier. We come into this thing because of what Scripture lays out for us, that we have to come to the place. We have to come to the place to repent of our sin and believe that he is the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as our Lord.